You are where you want to be. In the zone. Yes, I can. Doubt better leave. I'm running with this plan. Pull me, grab
me. Grab us in the bucket. Can't have me. I'll be the president one day. Welcome back in the zone on the Buzz Radio Network. Fury Electric Studio. Justin Akre joined today by Phil Elson. And now joined on the Revolution Hotline by the head coach at Arkansas State University, John Brady. Coach, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Coach, big week. Women are facing off tonight, and we got two teams at the top of the Western Division in the Sun Belt Conference. Same deal with the men tomorrow night, and it has not been lost on us, the irony of Valentine's Day with in-state rivals that, you know, we played up a little bit, but you guys don't love each other a lot, but that's a good in-state rivalry. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, it's about the only in-state rivalry we have.
That's
Is UALR and us in basketball, and you know we've started playing UCAA in basketball, and maybe we can develop that into something. But this is a long-standing rivalry before I got here, and it'll be here when I leave. But you know, and both our teams are playing well. You know, Steve's done a good job with Little Rock's team. They've improved. They're young. They have some experience, but he's got them playing well from when they started back in November till now, and our team has played well of late, and it should be a good game. You know, the advantage is to us, possibly, because we have them at home. But in 2 weeks, he gets me up there at the end of the season on a Saturday night. So we're looking forward to it, excited about it. Our fans are excited about it, and I'm sure we'll have a good crowd here tomorrow night.
Well, clearly the league respects the rivalry where they put you guys on Valentine's Day, and then they end the season with the matchup at UALR. So, you know, we talked to Coach Shields a little bit yesterday about it. Five games left for you guys, and this game doesn't mean everything, but it certainly would be a huge step in the right direction. How do you temper that with your team as far as the mental approach to this particular game and putting a lot into it because it is important, but maybe not putting everything into it mentally that, you know, if you don't come up on the right side of it, that it, you know, it's not the end of the season by any means.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's what I've told our guys. It'd be great to win the game and put us one up, and you know, then we still got to go on the road and play a couple. But our next three games are opportunities for us to do something. And you know, Steve's got us here tomorrow night, and he's got, you know, Kermit coming in to his place with Middle on Saturday, and Kermit's quite good with his team. So
yeah,
he's got a couple of challenges there. You know, I agree with that, and I agree with Steve. That's what he said. This is not a do-or-die game. I mean, there's still a chance for us and him also, regardless of who wins this game, to still finish first in the West. But it'd certainly be good to get it at home, and you need to win your home games in order to do something special or significant. And we've stolen a couple on the road, and we've got ourselves in a position to do something and playing for something special. And hopefully we can play our best tomorrow night and get this thing done. But if not, I agree, we still have an opportunity. There's four more games out there, and there's still a lot of opportunities and a lot of things that can happen. So, but we need to play our best, and whoever gets this is one up, but certainly it hasn't ended anything because we still have some games to go.
John Brady joining us in the zone on the Revolution Hotline again tomorrow night. It's Arkansas State and UALR for the Western Division lead, and you mentioned your team is playing well, and 4 out of 5 victories, Coach, including a road win at Western Kentucky, and not a lot of teams get out of there with a victory. Trey Finn with a big game in that particular victory. Talk to me a little bit about what you guys are doing right to get you where you are now.
Well, the thing that's been constant for us the last 8 or 10 games is our ability to defend and rebound and take care of the ball. You know, we've held teams to below 40 shooting. We've out-rebounded teams the last 8 or 10. We're averaging about 10 or 11 turnovers a game. The Achilles heel of us is our inconsistency in shooting the ball. We've been shooting about 38% ourselves, and the grade out on our tape is the quality of shots been pretty good. We just hadn't been able to make them consistently, and that's why we've played a couple of games on the table, or left some on a couple on the table. I think we should have won had we just made some timely baskets. You know, I've told our team if we can just muster up 42 or 43% shooting, we can beat some good teams. Well, the other night at Western, we shot 42.3 from the floor, won by 18 on the road. Because we continue to defend it and rebound it and take care of it. So if we can make a few baskets from here on out and still defend and rebound and take care of the ball like we've been doing, we've got a chance to beat, you know, anybody in our league. But at the same time, you know what making a basket is in a timely manner can do for your team. It keeps it going, and sometimes we hadn't been able to do that consistently enough.
I was talking to Corliss Williamson about this yesterday too, Coach, the road versus home thing. And like we said, you're coming off a road victory. Clearly, you guys are doing something right when you're away from the Convocation Center, but it seems like there is such a huge advantage in basketball, and as we were talking about, if you could put your finger on it and figure out exactly what it is and quantify, you could probably make $1 billion as a consultant. But what is it about basketball? And certainly, I mean, different environments are more intimidating than others, but it right. seems like there is more of a home road swing than in any other sport.
Well, I think it's a comfort level for sure, for one, and then I think that the reaction of the game is so spontaneous. The one call, a dunk, a big shot, they can change momentum so quickly in the game of basketball, and it seems to happen. Momentum changes and swings take place more at home than they do on the road, or at least have more impact at home than they do on the road because of the crowd and because of the familiarity with the home team. I think that's the reason. You know, we don't risk 30 minutes between each play. We don't walk up to the line of scrimmage. You know, our game can change in a moment's notice. And I think the ability of the momentum swings at home with a steal, a dunk, a big three, or whatever the case may be, and the spontaneity of it and the change of it, along with the crowd, can just influence a game in a short period of time.
Coach Brady, I'm not asking you for specific examples of this, but do you feel like one of the reasons that home and away is such a big swing is officiating, that sometimes the home team will get the calls?
You know, I would hate to question the integrity of officials. somebody will tweet this out or put it on something.
Nah, nobody listens to this show, Cody. Don't worry about it. You're all good.
Well, y'all look like a bad guy.
No. Not necessarily
but
the integrity
I
of the officials.
Think about this. How many times have you seen, let's say in my days at LSU, and let's say I'm on the road up at Bud Walton, and the official calls a charge on the Razorbacks, and he just blows his whistle and says, charge. Well, you call a charge on LSU, and there's 18,000 there. He's winding up like he's pitcher on the pitcher's mound and making a big call, and the crowd goes nuts. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes officials are influenced by the crowd to a degree, and they know when a big call is, and they kind of exaggerate it at times. And I think that can happen. But hopefully over the course of a season, official will be above that, not be influenced by crowd or home court, and really call the game as he sees it.
John Brady joining us in the Zone on the Revolution Hotline and not commenting at all about refereeing. But I do want you to comment about Trey Finn, Coach. He's a guy from Central Arkansas. It is amazing because, again, he almost went to UALR, ended up deciding right. that ASU was a better fit for him. It's amazing how glowingly, though, the UALR coaches talk about him. He's got to be an impressive young man. I don't know him personally, but he's been through a lot with injury, and obviously right. he's playing extremely well for you right now, just moved into the top 20 in scoring at ASU. Talk to me a little about Trey.
Well, I think with any young man that is doing what he's supposed to do and responsible and mature and taking care of his business and making good grades. He's in graduate school now. He's already graduated. I think it goes back to his family and parents. He's got wonderful parents, and they're supportive. Their games at home, their games on the road. Got a great family and a great background, and something that he can rely upon. It's given him some security and allowed him to make right decisions because they've been there with him, and he's responsible. He's been taught, you know, that you find yourself where you are by choices you make and things you do or don't do. And he takes responsibility for who he is and what he is and where he's going. And his work ethic is good, and his talent level is good enough. You know, his freshman year, he broke his foot. His sophomore year, he tore his patella tendon. And he still leave here scoring over 1,200 points. And he was the 24th player in the history of this program to score 1,000 points and never have disciplined him in any way. Never have ran him for missing a class. His grades are solid, always good. He's in graduate school. So whatever they say about student-athletes and what one should be, he makes any kind of billboard that you want to put up there about student-athletes and what they should be about. He represents that pretty well, and he'll be a great graduate of the program and the university, and he'll come back like alumni are supposed to do and get involved, and really that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
Coach, you alluded to the Central Arkansas game November 21st. You not only played an in-state school that wasn't in the Sun Belt Conference, but you also play on the road, which certainly raised a lot of eyebrows. It ended up being a great game, one of the best played in the state this year. You guys ended up pointed out at the end. I know it was a great environment, too. What was the mindset going into that? Because a lot of people probably thought, well, what are they doing going to UCA?
Well, I would like the trickle-down economics to affect that, you know. I'd like it to come from the Razorbacks down to Arkansas State to Little Rock, and you can't say you'd like to play University of Arkansas if you won't play UCA. You know, the argument holds no water. So I'm not afraid. I think it's a good game. We bus up there, they bus down here. They had their biggest crowd of the year when we came to their place, over 5,000 people. So I think it's a good thing, and I think it's a good thing for us to play UCA. I'd like to get a tournament together with UCA, Rock, and us, and play at alternate sites, and get a fourth team somewhere to play something every year, and just put us all at one site for two nights, and let everybody see us play, maybe around Thanksgiving or something like that. But I think those things are good. You can't be afraid to start a rivalry, obviously. And go to UCA for that. I think Arkansas State's the first time a team from Arkansas State has been to UCA in anything and played them there. But, you know, I was at LSU. I played Tulane. I played Lafayette. I played McNeese. I played UNO. I played them all. I think it's a good thing. I think that's a good thing, and I'd like to see more of it done.
Yeah, there is more of a philosophy down in Louisiana, it seems like, because the football team even plays, you know, the Southland Conference schools. They play the Sun Belt schools in football. So it seems to be in Louisiana there's more of a philosophy of keeping it in-state than there is here in Arkansas for whatever reason.
Well, I think it's a good thing. It helps everybody. At the end of the day, if LSU may play Tulane 10 times in basketball, which we did, and they beat me once, what did it change? It didn't change a thing, but it sure did create some talk and some, you know, some chatter and some interest in both programs. So, you know, those things can happen, but certainly I think it's good to get everybody in the state involved with the universities that they support with their tax money and let us have fun and play. And yeah, Arkansas is Arkansas. It's not going to change anything. You know, we're who we are and Little Rock's who they are. But I think the competitiveness of it and the interest level that it creates is good for everybody.
Coach Brady, I do the play-by-play for the UALR women's team, and I've had this conversation with Joe Foley a couple of times, once on the air. And it's about the direction of the Sun Belt. You know, obviously, the Sun Belt is losing some very good basketball programs. I think at the top of the list would be Middle Tennessee with all this conference realignment. But, you know, bringing in Georgia State and Texas State and Texas Arlington, I'm wondering about your opinion of what the defections out of the Sun Belt and the schools that are coming in, what that does to the level of competition for the Sun Belt as a whole.
Well, I think you look back at the history of the Sun Belt, not over the last 25 years. I mean, because you have teams that left the Sun Belt now that play at a higher level, actually, because of their budget. But the conference, basically, to me, is a one-bid league. To describe it as a two-bid league, or we should be a two-bid league, I think you don't know who you are and where you're going and what you're about. My Little Tennessee leaving, I think they're a good basketball team. They just the other night, but we beat them three out of the last four. We beat them three out of the last five. So I think they're a good basketball team, but Kermit has never been to the NCAA tournament in 11 years at Middle Tennessee, and they've been good the last 2 years. But I think it goes up and down with him also. He's been consistently good, but the last 2 years has been the best years he's had there in 11 years that he's been the coach there. Georgia State, good basketball program. Texas Arlington is a good basketball team. Texas State's a good basketball team. I'm not as concerned about replacing the basketball in this league. FIU, FAU, they're good teams, but they don't bring anything to us in terms of attendance or anything. Like, they certainly don't draw when you go down there. So that doesn't bother. What bothers me about the league is from a football standpoint. The teams that we're losing in football, we're replacing with teams that are in the first stages of getting to division status in football. So that's where we really are not as competitive. The teams we're losing in football are much better than the teams that we're bringing in. In basketball, it's not so much the case outside of Middle right now, but they've just been on a good run the last couple of years. You know, if Texas State or Texas Arlington or Georgia State played FAU or FIU, you know, it'd be about a 50-50 standoff after 10 games, I believe. So I'm not concerned about in basketball because you can find that 350 of us playing Division I basketball. There are not that many good football playing schools out there. So I think that's where we really hurts the league more than anything else.
Coach, going to move the Sun Belt Conference tournament back to, or going to move it to New Orleans from Hot Springs after this season. You will probably be, I would guess, the most popular coach at that particular tournament. I think for everybody here in Arkansas, we're a little bit torn because certainly it's been great for the state. It's been great for the in-state teams. But we all have a special place in our heart for New Orleans and some good oysters, too. So
and who doesn't?
What do you think about that move? I guess if you had to move, New Orleans is not a bad spot, huh?
That's exactly what I said. I mean, I like it in Hot Springs because of our fans. You know, we travel down there really well. It's better than anybody in the league, and it's a good advantage for us. But if they're going to move it, you know, my suggestion was New Orleans, and that's what they did, not because I suggested, but I was an advocate of that. I didn't want it to go anywhere else. Might as well keep it in Hot Springs for our advantage and Little Rock's advantage. I'm sure Steve feels the same way.
Yeah.
But if you're going to move it, I think New Orleans is where our offices are for the Sun Belt Conference. That's where we're located. It's a destination city. It's a fun city. I'm also for moving our spring meetings in May out of Destin and moving them to New Orleans. I'd much rather spend 4 days in New Orleans than in Destin. I've been to Destin enough, and I don't even need to change the venue in that. But I think the tournament in New Orleans will be fun. I think they're not going to take all the teams as they've been, you know, over in Hot Springs. I liked it because every team got to go and every team got to experience a tournament atmosphere. We could play two games at one time. I think they're going to cut it back to about 8 teams instead of 10 that we're going to have next year. But you know, and I don't with that, but hey, there's no place to play the men and women at the same time and condense it in enough day. It'd be too much school miss. So, but I like New Orleans. You know, my wife's from New Orleans, and, you know, I coached down there in Baton Rouge for a long time and got a lot of friends there and have a comfort level with it. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
What's your favorite oyster joint down there, Coach?
Acme.
Okay. Me too. Me right. too.
The classic. Coach, we've talked a lot about LeBron James. I'll leave with this. I want to get one last question in here, and we'll let you go. But we talked a lot about LeBron James and the performance he's put on in recent games is really, you know, basically unprecedented in NBA history. We're also talking a lot this week about Michael Jordan because he turns 50 on Sunday, which is hard to believe.
Right.
If you could take either one of those guys in your prime or in their prime and add them to your team for the remainder of the season, who would you take?
I think I'd take Michael Jordan simply because I think he is a little ahead of LeBron in making other players around him better.
Mm-hmm.
I think physically LeBron, the strength and power of him is incredible. But I think overall basketball player in terms of passing and playmaking, he has the edge, and I'd probably go with Michael Jordan.
Coach, appreciate the time so much, and good luck. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Take care.
All right.
He's a great interview.
He's awesome. I always enjoy. There's a guy who does not pull punches. He knows how far he can go, especially on the officiating question.
Yeah.
But very smart, always entertaining, and not afraid to talk about just about anything.
And I thought it was interesting how he sort of brought in football to the question about Sun Belt. And when I talk with Steve Shields and Joe Foley about the changes in the Sun Belt, they don't talk about football, obviously. UALR doesn't have a football team.
Well, he's thinking like an athletic director.
That's exactly right. And that's the direction the Sun Belt is going right now. And it makes me wonder where UALR's place in the Sun Belt is.